You know, it's the first day of summer. Today, June 21st. It's not the first full day, if you want to be technical, the 22nd. First full day of summer, but this starts summer today. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I feel so summery. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, who always feels in the pink, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Monday, June the 21st. By the way, it's also technically, I think, the longest day of the year. That means we're going to have sun. We're going to have to check at what time the sun actually sets here tonight. I would guess it probably sets close to 8:30, doesn't it? Or maybe
much later than that.
Yeah, much later. Okay. Anyway, we will be talking in a few minutes with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about something called the PRO Act. You may not have heard about it, but he says it threatens the rights of workers across the country. So we're going to talk with Sean about that. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis topping a new conservative straw poll for president. He even beats Donald Trump. We are going to get some thoughts about this and other things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll a little bit later in the show, His Majesty Andrew Ceresi. So stay tuned for that. And a black man's speech at an Illinois school board meeting against critical race theory goes viral. Wait till you hear it. We've got it for you. We're going to bring you the details. And we have a very good top 10. In our ultimate top 10, the top 10 tallest buildings in the world. And I defy Big Ed to tell me what is number one, unless he looks it up. Top 10 tallest buildings in the world. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, the best haircut in Tampa Bay, located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773, Andrew's Master Barbershop. And I hope, if you had any sense, you were listening to Good Morning Clearwater this morning. They are on Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Paul and Tracy Allen, great people, and they always have fun. Let them start your day with the latest in news and entertainment and sports and their opinions and their jokes and on and on and on. Anyway, Good Morning Clearwater. Well, they had a gay pride, I guess they have gay pride parades, quite a few of them. They don't all fall on the same day, but they had one in Fort Lauderdale. Fort Lauderdale Mayor Dean Trantalis is facing backlash. He called the deadly crash at a pride parade in Fort Lauderdale, he called it a terrorist attack against the LGBT community before all the facts came out. Turned out it was a gay man, apparently in a truck, that did it. He almost knocked over that Democratic, where is her name? You know, the one with the big mouth. And I can't think of her name. I'll find it later.
Be more specific than that.
Well, that's true. There are a lot of them, are there not? What is her name? She's been around for a long time. She even ran the Democratic National Committee kind of thing. Anyway.
Maxine Waters?
No, it's a Jewish woman. Oh. I think I'll find it. Anyway, so the driver and the victims were all part of the Fort Lauderdale Gay Men's Chorus family. That must be an interesting group, the Gay Men's Chorus family. But unfortunately, this guy, for some reason, drove into the crowd. And the group president said, to my knowledge, this was an accident, not an attack on the community. The driver was a 77-year-old male who apparently had some sort of physical ailment preventing him from walking the duration of the parade. And he was, God forbid, he was selected to drive as the lead vehicle. Apparently, we won't have him driving as the lead vehicle in a parade anymore. So one man was killed. Debbie Wasserman Schultz was the Democratic lady I was thinking about. She almost got hit. This guy continued across all the lanes of traffic, crashed into a fence. Anyway, Here's what Trantella said, the mayor of Fort Lauderdale. This is a terrorist attack against the LGBT community. This is exactly what it is, he says. Hardly an accident, he says. It was deliberate, he says. It was premeditated, he says. And it was targeted against a specific person. Luckily, in other words, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Then, luckily, they missed that person, but unfortunately, they hit two other people. Then, when he found out it was a gay man that was driving the vehicle, listen to this mealy-mouthed response from the mayor. Last evening, at the start of what was to be a celebration of pride for the LGBT community and commemoration of our hard-won victories for equality, our community faced the worst of tragedies. The grief of our community and greater Fort Lauderdale is palpable. I was an eyewitness to the horrifying events. It terrorized me and all around me. I reported what I saw to law enforcement and had strong concerns about what transpired. Concerns for the safety of my community. I feared it would be intentional based on what I saw from mere feet away. Law enforcement took what appeared to obvious to me and others nearby and investigated further, as is their job. As the facts continue to be pieced together, a picture is emerging of an accident in which a truck careened out of control. So somebody tweeted, would have been neat if the mayor waited for facts.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about an apology in there for...
He should have said I was wrong to make... And you know what? I would have thought the same thing he might have at the at the start of it. I understand that. But to blurt it out as mayor as fact, And then you better come back and say, you know, I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, however, and this crossed my mind, Ed, this gay man might have intentionally done it. You never know. You don't know what was going on in his head. It sounded a little... strange that all of this happened that way.
Right.
But anyway, very interesting. Before we, do we have time for our little viral guy?
Sure.
All right, let's do it before we have our break. Let me set it up for everybody. There is a black man that got in front of an Illinois school board and made one of the most impassioned speeches against critical race theory, something that is surping into all of these schools around the country and causing a lot of concern. Now, remember, this is a black man. Let's hear what this guy had to say at the school board meeting.
Hang on there. We're waiting for it to...
Okay.
It's for some reason. I've been sitting here waiting for it, you know, and now it wants to buffer.
Okay. The guy was sitting waiting to speak, so that's okay. You know, it takes a little time to set it up. Ed's still working on it. Let me give him a little more background, Ed, while you're working on it. Basically, he was upset with critical race theory. And he's not the only black person to stand up in front of a school board and say something. But he said it so eloquently. He said to me,
theory,
it was,
which is pretty, here we go. About critical race theory, which is pretty much going to be teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other. That's pretty much, I don't care what it's pretty much what it's going to all come down to. You're going to deliberately teach kids, this white kid right here got it better than you because he white? You're going to purposely tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed. How do I have two medical degrees if I'm sitting here oppressed? How did I get, first of all, right, stand up. We've only got 5 minutes now, not 5 minutes. Two medical degrees. No mom, no dad in the house. Worked my way through college. Sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You going to tell me somebody that looked like all y'all white folks kept me from doing that? Are you serious? Not one white person ever came to me and said, well, son, you're never going to be able to get nowhere because you know the black people. But guess what? What's sickening about this whole thing is what y'all doing right now is already something I do in my community right now to speak out against stuff because black folks are getting told by other black folks, oh, you know you ain't going to be able to do nothing out there in the world because them white folks ain't going to let you get nowhere. Oh, you know you're not going to be able to do it because you know, the white man going to keep you down. Well, how did I get where I am right now if some white man kept me down? How am I now directing over folks that look just like you guys in this room right now? How? What kept me down? What oppressed me? I work for myself from off the streets to where I am right now. You gonna sit here and tell me this lie of critical race theory? Of this the reason why black folks can't get ahead because of white folks? Are you kidding me? This is what we come to now. I can't believe we're even talking about this right now. The last thing I'm gonna say right here is something that's crazy. Martin Luther King said he wanted his kids to grow up in a world where they are judged by the contents of their what?
Character.
Their character. not their skin. Yeah, absolutely. If they letting this stuff go on right now, it is absolutely doing the complete reverse of what he's doing. So when February comes, don't talk about Martin Luther King. When February comes, don't talk about Black History Month. Y'all gonna sit there and just pretty much pee on his grave with this nonsense? That's exactly what's about to happen. Lastly, we are talking about our kids. We are talking about our children. What's so sickening about me, I love the Discovery Channel. You will see that on the Discovery Channel, animals will put their lives on the line to protect their children from danger. Nobody want to get to the heart of the matter, get to the meat of the matter, get to the moral of the story. It all comes down to it. The person that's going to be suffering from this, the one's going to be hurt from this, is the kids. Yeah. 10 years from now, if this stuff goes on, whose fault is it going to be? Whose fault is it going to be? Who are we going to look back on and blame for this? Because this is stuff we're talking about right now. This stuff is going on right now. I do this stuff on a daily basis. I'm in the hood. I'm in the communities. I'm out there with folks in their face. I've been doing stuff since I was 18 years old, talking to Black folks. And you know what? None of them are buying this nonsense. None of them are. But if you want to implement this into the school system, I guarantee you to the day that I die, I'm going to be the very person right there debunking stuff, tearing stuff down, letting them know they can do exactly what I did and get exactly where I am by putting themselves to work and getting there. And ain't not one white person ever going to keep any of them from getting there. So the CRT stuff, BS.
There you go. I'll tell you what, it speaks for itself, does it not? It really does. It
speaks the truth.
All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Sean Higgins, and we'll talk about the PRO Act.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on the first day of summer and delighted to have Sean Higgins back. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He specializes in labor and employment issues, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about with him this morning, and specifically about something called the PRO Act. Sean, welcome back.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Tampa. Good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely our pleasure. So you have written a piece about something called the PRO Act. And, Sean, I had not heard much about the PRO Act nor its chances in Congress. Would you mind spelling out what the PRO Act is all about?
Yeah, it's called the Protecting the Right to Organize Act. It's legislation that has already passed the House and is awaiting action in the Senate. The Democrats are trying to wrangle up the few remaining votes, but they're facing resistance from a small number of Democratic senators. I believe the ones in Arizona are the two of the main ones, and one of Virginia's senators is also doing it.
You mean the West Virginia senator? What's his name in West Virginia?
No.
Oh, okay.
Virginia one. I'm blanking on his name at the moment.
That's all right.
McAuliffe, Warner. I get those guys confused.
Oh, yes, okay.
anyway, what the legislation does is it's intended to boost union numbers. In fact, the advocates of it are quite open about that. The intention of it is to basically result in more people joining unions. And the main way it does this is by limiting the ability of individual workers to say no to joining a union. It eliminates the right to work laws in all 27 states.
Oh, my goodness.
It basically would create a nationwide version of California's AB 5 law, which basically makes it almost impossible to do sort of gig work for companies like Lyft or Uber. It would require businesses to give away personal private contact information for their workers to unions that come by and say they're trying to organize. Which doesn't make any sense in the age of social media. If people were actually genuinely interested in joining unions, they could just go online or to a Facebook, the union's Facebook page, and learn about what they want, why they have to you know, be required to allow these people to knock on their door or call them when they don't want to. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And a few other things along those lines. Basically, what it does is it gives it takes away the individual worker's right to say no and gives the union as a sort of legal entity more ability to force them to say get in line. And this is, as I said, it's passed the House. It's awaiting action in the Senate. They're just trying to twist the few remaining arms that they need to do to get it done. And if that happens, it can be passed. And this will be probably one of the most important labor legislation that Congress will vote on since the 1947 Taft-Hartley Amendment.
You know, I was just going to say to you that it is so scary that something like this actually passed the House. You just said that this would eliminate the right to work laws in all 28 states where it is currently valid. I cannot believe that they could get away with something like this, that it would even pass in the House. This, to me, is a very scary scenario about how far to the left we are going. Now, unions, like you say, you say so in your article about union membership being around 6% now, right? Whereas it was way up back in the 50s and 40s and 60s. Go ahead.
Yeah, in terms of the private sector, that's the case. But basically, I mean, what's happened in the last couple of decades is as the workforce has grown, unions have sort of remained the same. They've shrunk as a percentage of the workforce, but the sort of headcount has been pretty consistent. So what's happened is as new industries have emerged, they haven't been organized or unionized, and the unions are trying to sort of reverse that by forcing by getting lawmakers to expand the laws to force those companies to unionize. And this is part of that. The reason why, to get to your point of why this hasn't gotten so much attention, is because it's generally described by news media in very sort of neutral terms or bland terms. It's a bill to help union organizing, which is technically true in the same sense that a bomb is something to help you scatter stuff on the ground.
Yes. Well, I mean, of course, we know that they're not going to present an accurate nor objective picture. That's a given. So we've got to muddle our way through that kind of a thing. But when you say the PRO Act abolishes states' right to work laws, undermines entrepreneurs and I know what you mean by this, broadening the definition of joint employment. In other words, not allowing these freelancers to have the freedoms that they have, which is an inducement to companies to hire them, because the companies don't have to provide all of their benefits. What else? It's absolutely, I mean, talk about stomping down on free market. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the particular case you're talking about, it's true that you're talking about the difference between contractors, which is the legal term for freelancers, and regular employees. And one of the things that, yes, this law tries to do is basically force more employers to automatically declare their workers to be traditional employees. What a lot of people don't understand about this is that this requires the employers to have a lot more control over the worker, because they have to do things like monitor the amount of time they work and the schedule which they work, which is required to comply with things like overtime and minimum wage and that type of stuff, and or the Affordable Care Act. So basically, when that happens, although the workers get a lot of these protections, they also lose a lot of their freedom and their ability to decide what they want to do and when they want to do, because the employer has the control over the schedule. You can't do like an easy side hustle just to get extra money when you need it, because those people can't afford to employ you, because they would have to, you'd have to yes. be their employee, and no company can afford to have somebody who only wants to work a few hours a week.
Sure. We're talking with Sean Higgins. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He specializes in labor and employment issues, and he has written a new report about workers losing their freedoms and protections if the PRO Act is passed. This is just mind-boggling, Sean, that the only thing apparently standing in the way of getting this thing passed is two Democratic senators that have misgivings. Because, of course, we have a 50-50 Senate, but the Vice President, Kamala Harris, would vote with the Democrats, so basically a 51-50. So we've got two. I mean, are we actually that close to having something like this pass?
Conceivably, yes. The reason why it hasn't is basically because in a couple of states where Democrats have been elected, such as Arizona, they have had existing right-to-work laws, going back for decades, and the sort of business community has absorbed this, and the sort of state economy is to a large extent built around this.
Mm-hmm.
So those lawmakers, this is also the case in Virginia, those lawmakers know that, if they vote to pass this, this is going to potentially disrupt things severely in their state. So that's what's, I believe, holding them
wow.
in line. They're paying attention to the people back home. But in a lot of other states that don't have these laws, which is the case in most of the ones where the Democrats represent the state, this is just basically just punishing the states that do have those laws.
Yeah. It's amazing. I'm thinking about right-to-work states versus non-right-to-work states. And clearly, employers and then following them, employees are moving to right-to-work states. The employers are, setting up shop in these places. The employees are pouring in. Everybody can see it. They can see that things work okay with that.
Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I'm just saying that because it seems so obvious. You would think that somehow Democrats would catch on.
Yeah, in addition to that, I would want to point out that having a right-to-work law does not mean you can't have a union.
Right.
It simply just means that that's totally, completely the individual worker's choice. And the union can exist even without that individual worker support. And in some cases, you can even have strong, you can have really strong unions and the same, and a right-to-work.
Sure.
That's the case in Nevada. All the service employee unions are very well organized and very effective. And I think part of the reason why that is because the workers have the freedom to decide whether or not they want to be in the union. And that makes the unions more responsive to the workers. They have to keep them happy. They have to keep them on board.
So this is what? Let's go back to where this PRO Act is now standing. Is it sort of just sitting, waiting to be called up for a vote? And is it one of those things where you're going to have to get 60 votes to bring it to the floor for consideration in the Senate?
I don't think they require the 60 votes on this.
Okay.
I'm not 100% on that.
But, okay.
It is the case where they're literally just trying to get the remaining few Democrats who haven't signed on
yeah.
to it to get on board so they can do that. So it's basically a question of whether or not those people's arms can be twisted to the extent that they'll still.
Well, God forbid they passed it. Let's say they did pass the PRO Act. Would it really abolish the right-to-work laws in all of the states that have them?
Oh yeah. It's quite clearly spelled out in the legislation.
It will.
Overnight, those laws would vanish. Now, that wouldn't mean that overnight those workers would necessarily become members of unions.
Right.
Because the unions would have to exist. But it would make it a whole lot easier for those states to suddenly have unions. Because a union exists when there's a contract between the management and the legal entity that's the union. And basically, a union can approach a business and say, I want to be the one to represent your workers. And the business can just go ahead and do that on behalf of its workers. The workers don't necessarily have a say in this. There is a process where the union has to get cards to claim that they have the support, but that can be sort of gamed in a couple of different ways. But, businesses could decide, I can work out a deal with this union. They'll come in and represent my workers. I'll have this sort of union issue resolved. I can present myself as really progressive. And, the workers don't necessarily have much of a say in that. And that's the type of situation that can happen.
Boy, I'll tell you what. And right now, coming out of the pandemic, I just can't believe that they would even bring something like this up. We want to get people back to work. We want to, get our economy working up to where it should be again. It just seems to me, I don't know how we can even be considering something like this. Sean, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Sean Higgins, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, they did a straw poll, a new conservative straw poll for president. And guess what? Guess who beat even Donald Trump? Well, he sits in the governor's chair here in Florida. We'll talk about that with the proprietor of the barber pole, Master Barber Andrew Ceresi. He wasn't looking
for a pretty face. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on the first day of summer. A little bit overcast out there right now, I believe. And very humid. That's what it becomes in June. And we got some rain finally, Ed, which is kind of nice. We were drier than I don't know what before that, so maybe we're excited that we're here in June finally. I don't know. You feel good about it? Are you a summer man?
I was just telling Andrew and I were talking just a second ago, and he's telling me how humid it is. I told him to get used to it till about October.
I know.
I said I spend as little time as possible outside.
Yeah.
It is going to rain probably a little later. I don't think it'll be anything huge. And our earlier question, what time does the sun set? 8:30 on the nose.
You are so good, it's scary. 8:30 on the nose, huh?
On the nose.
And then, you know, when the sun sets, we still have a few more minutes of...
How about up north? You know, up north doesn't get... My friends were just in Michigan. Up north doesn't get dark until almost 10 o'clock.
You are so right. And the further north you go the summertime, the longer it stays light.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why they call Alaska in the summer the land of the midnight sun, because it's midnight and you do have the sun still up there. Anyway, enough about all of that. There is a new straw poll. Came out from the Western Conservative Summit. And Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, came out on top of this thing. He scored 74%. Former President Donald Trump at 71%. Ted Cruz came in a distant third at 43%. And Mike Pompeo, you know that Mike Pompeo, the former Trump Secretary of State, is in the running for president. He wants to be president. Mm. He got 39%. Okay, so we have the Master Barber with us. And I'll bet he's kind of got mixed feelings about this. Andrew, what do you think about this poll? First of all, do you believe it? It's they used both in-person and online data to come up with these numbers.
Of course I believe it, Paul. You know what I think of Ron DeSantis.
Oh, I know you love him.
And look at the two men that are on the top.
And you love him, too. So you believe you do
better and best, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking about Ron. And if somebody, I think in a way it's his for the offering. That's me. That if he really wanted the Republican presidential nomination, all he has to say is yes. And I bet they would set things up. I don't know your thought on that.
Well, we still got 3 years.
We do. You are so right.
3 years, and it's amazing that people are talking about it already, but 3 years, you know, so much could happen. The world could blow up.
Well, wait a second. You know doggone well why everybody is talking. Look what we got in the White House right now. We got a walking zombie.
Well,
I mean, you think people have got to think for, you know, something better.
Well, you know what? The people that are thinking something better shouldn't have put him there to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're stuck with them.
We got Biden remorse going on big time.
I know.
I see people at the gas pump scraping off their Biden stickers on their bumpers.
Yeah, but the problem is, what do we get if he leaves? Kamala Harris, I think that might be worse. She's still trying to find her way around the country. Somebody told her she's supposed to go to the southern border. She ends up in a bakery in New Hampshire. Now, she doesn't know where she's going.
Paul, the fact of the matter is, if nothing is happening to change any of this, you're going to be stuck with her in a short period of time here. I got news for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very... That's why we got to think about 2024, because we don't want to think about what's going on right now, do we?
Well, I'm thinking about what's going on in Arizona.
Okay.
And it's like I told you, if there was cheating going on here, it's going to come out, Paul.
Well, when are we going to hear about that? What has taken them so long? It's taking longer than the creation of the Earth.
They did, what, 2.2 million ballots by hand, Paul?
There aren't 2.2 million people in one county there, is there?
No. But they talked something of 2.2 million that I was reading that they're auditing. So I don't know if it's just Maripoca or what. You know, we don't hear the whole story.
Well, I don't know. It seems to me we should have been over. This is taking longer than the Durham report. And I was 10 years old when they did that one.
That was like when they remodeled US 19 over here, huh?
Yes.
5 years.
So I got some other things to talk about. And I know that you'll have a thought about it. Here is one of them. Evanston, Illinois, it's just north of the city of Chicago, they have canceled their 4th of July parade because of COVID-19. Now, this has not even come up yet. However, they allowed a Juneteenth, and they allowed a pride parade to take place. Tell me that that's fair and balanced.
Well, the proof is already out on the computer that Chicago was run a lot better when Al Capone was in there.
I think so.
Okay.
The crime wave now is much worse than when Al Capone was in office.
That's right. Well, you know, listen, they got two sets of rules for everybody. But what's going on is disgusting, period. You know, the Juneteenth, the gay pride, I don't really care about any of it. And mm-hmm. You know what? Most people don't.
No, you're right, they don't.
There are things going on that are more important in this world than race, gender, and whatever the hell is going on.
Yeah.
You know, you got China building the biggest navy in the world. You got Putin has 16 of our most vital areas on a map. He probably got that letter Biden gave him with the 16 areas that you don't go near or you're going to be punished. He's probably got that on a wall throwing a dart at him. So which one should we go at first?
Exactly. That okay. was the dumbest thing. Now, here's the 16 don't touch things. Okay? You're not allowed to go after any of this. And I'm sure he had, you know, our grid and our oil and I don't know what else. It's in the 16. I guess after that, you know, help yourself. I mean, good luck. Maybe I can share in some of that money with you that you collect.
You can put that whole Democrat administration together in one shot, and you're going to get an IQ of about 10.
Yeah, that guy is...
All of them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I wonder who's really the power behind the throne. Maybe there is no power behind the throne.
They even got Manchin. Some people play the devil's advocate for Manchin. I don't trust him as far as I could throw him.
He's certainly taken on a lot of significance in the Democratic Party. Joe Manchin, you're talking about, the senator from West Virginia. He's taken on, and that Kristen Sinema, that's another one out west. Another Democrat that pulls the other way. In other words, they're probably the only two moderates that are left maybe in the Democratic Party in the Senate.
Exactly. And they'll do whatever they can to get rid of them, believe me.
I would not be surprised, by the way, if Joe Manchin became a Republican. It would not be the first time.
It's either that or his brakes fail in his car.
Yes. Yeah, you're right about that. So speaking about brakes and failing and all that, there was an accident at a gay pride parade. We talked about it a little earlier on the show. I don't know if you heard it, but in Fort Lauderdale, the mayor immediately jumped on the fact that this was some sort of anti-gay attack. And it turned out, after the dust settled, that the guy that was in the truck that did this was gay. In fact, he was a member of the group that was involved with the production of this parade. So he kind of came out with a mealy-mouthed response a little bit later. But, you know, people are quick to jump on the victimhood thing. The victimhood. That's it. The victimhood. Well, we're all these victims we got in this country now, right?
That was probably a domestic dispute between him and his lover. And, you know,
it could have been.
To be honest with you, a gay fight is worse than a cat fight. You know?
How would you know that?
I've seen a couple of them out in the streets at times.
Okay.
I'll tell you what.
I see.
They are worse than a cat fight. If a gay person gets mad at you, and, you know, most gay...
If a gay person gets mad at you, the claws come out? Is that what you're trying to say?
It's terrible.
I mean,
they're the nicest people in the world. Don't get me wrong.
No, I know.
You know, you have a lover's dispute with them. I got news for you. They're off for blood.
Wow. So
that was just proof of it yesterday.
Yeah. But victimhood. I mean, it's all victimhood now. This is the whole story of the left. You're always offending somebody, no matter what you... And just being white is offensive. You're offending people. Your whiteness is offending me. Get your whiteness out of my sight.
Unbelievable. Paul, it's nuts what's going on. Like I said, you got 1% of the population in this country causing turmoil for the whole country, and you got the dumbass politicians backing them up.
No question about that. And the media. The media is backing them up, too. The media has been...
Grab that Chris Cuomo by the scruff of the neck and slap him.
Yeah. Should we have a gay person?
No, it's all ratings, Paul. It's like, who are those guys that used to be on 4 o'clock in the afternoon with all the nutcases and the television? I can't think of their name.
4 o'clock in the afternoon with all the nutcases?
Yeah, you know, when they had all the...
Oh, Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer. Yeah, that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with trash.
Yeah, crazy
and
people.
The guy made his living. He made millions out of dealing with trash because people like to watch these idiots make asses out of themselves.
That's true. Everybody likes to see some sort of an accident happen, and they would get up and throw their chairs across the studio.
I mean, you had sisters fighting over one guy, and it all kinds of stuff.
Hey, speaking about the gay situation, this is a little bit close. Did you hear about this Laurel Hubbard, a New Zealand weightlifter,
going to be
the first transgender athlete? She's going to be able to compete. And she used to compete as a man. She used to compete in weightlifting as a man. I mean, by the way, I saw a picture of dear Lori. She should have stayed a man. Anyway, so she's going to...
What do you think about Victoria's Secrets?
Oh, boy, there's no secret. Anyway, the point being, that's not very fair, is it?
Well, we're going to see what happens, because I understand the Russians and the Yugoslavians got a couple of transgendered getting into women's weightlifting. These guys are taking steroids. You know, the Russians always get caught taking steroids, but they got their transgender weightlifters on steroids. This is going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
That's all you watch.
Here's the nonsense, okay? Here are the International Olympic Committee guidelines about transitioning athletes to be able to participate. They are male to females are allowed to compete in events without surgically removing their testes. Also, you only have to have a certain amount. Let's see, where is this? A certain amount of some hormone inside of you. If you can show that you have it under a certain amount, it's like a testosterone hormone, then you are able to compete. So here we go. We're going to have all of these kinds of things going on now, and we'll slowly turn the Olympics into a transgender event. Don't you think that they'll take over all? At least for the women.
They have the transgender Olympics. They got the Special Olympics for the handicapped people.
I think the transgender Olympics would be fine. I really do. I mean that.
Do your own thing and
yes.
Let everybody else do their own thing. You don't have to mix and mingle.
No. There was a woman, by the way, if I can find her name, one of the Olympics athletes, is absolutely outraged, as she should be, about this thing. And here she is from Belgium, Anna Van Bellingen, who will likely compete against this transgender from New Zealand, said it's like, quote, like a bad joke for women competitors. And she says, life-changing opportunities are missed for some athletes, and we are powerless. So I think she's right. I think that's most unfair. And I would be shocked if this guy doesn't win. Well, I say guy. If this lady doesn't win.
You know what?
What?
Let's find out in Las Vegas what the odds are of him winning.
Yes.
That ought to tell you.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's always a pleasure. Do you have any other thoughts before we say...
Well, I've had too many thoughts for the day. There's things rolling around in my head.
I bet.
I'm not going to be right the rest of the day.
No, you will be. You're a busy guy. I always appreciate your calling in. So we'll talk again, I hope, tomorrow, Andrew. In the meantime, thank you so much, my friend.
You got it, Paul. Have a good day.
Same to you. There he goes, the very busy Master Barber, Andrew. Let us take our break. When we come back, we're going to do two things. We're going to talk a little bit about our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning and what's going on with them. They're playing again tonight. And then the top 10 world's tallest buildings.
Well, south side of Chicago is the baddest part of town. And if you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Final segment of Freedom Works on this first day of summer. And by the way, if you cannot listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us on podcast. He puts all of our shows on podcast. And you know they are works of art. You can listen to them two or three. It's like visiting the Louvre Museum and looking at the Mona Lisa. You can come back later and see it again. So you can go back to the podcast that you enjoy, listen to it over and over and over again. All you have to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and click on the podcast button at the top. Ed, you'll be interested in this. You know the Supreme Court has been busy issuing its rulings. And they have ruled in a unanimous decision that the NCAA has illegally restricted education-based benefits that could be used as compensation to student athletes. Now, this upholds lower court rulings, generally maintaining the NCAA's rules forbidding payment to student athletes can continue. So, this is interesting. There's been some talk about allowing students that are performing in colleges to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So they would therefore be professionals. I think it would ruin the whole idea. I don't even know your thought on it. On the one hand, I can see these kids that are good on the football and basketball provide income coming into the college, but they're supposed to be getting an education and a scholarship and all the benefits that go with it. Plus, they get, it's like a training ground for them if they're that good to be able to then hop into the, you know, into football or basketball or whatever. Your thought?
Well, I know one of the ways to pay them is compensation through jersey sales and some gear. Where, you
but
know,
that would make him professional.
Well, like Trevor Lawrence, if it's an orange Clemson jersey, it's number 16. You know, they're thinking of Trevor Lawrence. But I, at one side of this, you know, there are kids that are going to school on a scholarship, not even allowed to have a job. You know, and their friends are going out and having fun on Friday and Saturday night. They don't have any money. And I would think it would deter some.
I think they should be able to have a job.
Well, yes, they should have a job, and I think it should be treated like a business too, as far as the football goes. And I say football because tennis doesn't bring in 200,000 fans to a stadium.
True.
Or 100,000.
How about if you had a transgender weightlifting weightlifting program?
Yeah, just burning through everything. But I think they should treat it like an ordinary business. Let's say football starters, they're paid $500 a week. Non-starters are paid $300 a week.
You know what that's going to do to the team spirit? You know what that's going to do? When certain players on your team get paid and you don't, and you're on the team,
well,
you know what that's going to do to
everybody
camaraderie?
Gets paid, but the
this is not going to work socially in college. It will not work.
But I would just think that the better starters would get higher pay, and I'm saying cap it. Cap it. Everybody gets $500 that starts.
I think it's the road to ruin. I think it's the road to ruin. I mean, and then we've lost the entire concept of college. We're losing it anyway.
Yeah.
We're losing it anyway. But it just seems to be the entire concept of what college life and growing up. These are still kids. Remember, they just came out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing all of this to them. I think it's a bad, bad thing. I think let them be kids as long as they can be kids, and that includes not paying them to be pros.
You're letting him be a kid if he's playing tennis. If he's putting his life on the line playing football on Sunday, might be a different story.
Well, the kid has a choice. He doesn't have to play football.
He has a choice.
Doesn't have to. When he puts that helmet on at a college, he knows what could happen to him. Anyway, it's a very interesting discussion, Ed. I want to get... because we only got a couple minutes to talk about it. Our beloved Lightning lost, I believe it was 3-2 in our last game Saturday, and we're downhearted about that. The series is tied 2-2. I believe it's coming back to Tampa tonight. Your thought?
They better win tonight.
Okay, that's a good thought.
They better win tonight. Yeah. That's all I can say. Is it possible to go there and win and then come home for the last one and win? Yeah, but let's make life a little easier.
And I liked when you were talking with Paul and Tracy on Good Morning Clearwater about how you sit in a certain position, or maybe your hand is over here.
Uh-huh.
I've done that. You become a victim of your superstitions, you know.
And then with the Rays losing 3 on the weekend, 4 total.
What's going on?
It was a bad weekend for Tampa Bay sports, I'll tell you that.
The Rays' pitching has been superlative. What's going on?
It's fallen apart.
It has.
And, you know, in past games where they've had a little losing streak, they could rely on the pitching to get them through the 2-1 games. Well, now they can't because the hitting is not there. And then so I think in desperation, Juan DeFranco is coming up right now. He'll be a Tropicana. He'll be playing the Red Sox tomorrow night.
I'd say.
For the Rays.
He's
and
a
you
pitcher.
Know what? How hard it was to stay up till almost 1:30, watching 3 games in a row was rough.
You are a toughie.
Rough.
You are a toughie.
And
That's
not
why
barking.
You stayed up. No, you're not barking. You're a toughie. You were watching some important things, and we wish them. In fact, they fell out of first place.
Yeah.
Who's in first there?
Oh, the Red Sox are right now.
Boston.
It's a half a game.
The
half
nemesis.
A game.
Okay. All right, Ed. It's time for our top 10. I want to see, Ed, if you have any concept. The tallest bill. I did not, by the way. Let me just tell you that. Did not have any idea. But these are the top 10 tallest buildings in the world from a site called skyscrapercenter.com. So they should know. We're going to give you the top 10. We'll give you the year it was completed, the building, how tall it is, and how many floors. Okay? So here we go. Number 10. It's called Taipei 101. Taipei 101. It's in Taipei, China. And it was erected and completed in 2004. It is 1,667 feet, and it has 101 stories. All right, number 9. We got a lot of them in China. Number 9 is CITIC Tower, CITIC Tower. It's in Beijing, China. Completed in 2018, 1,731 feet, 109 stories. This is a tie for number 7. It's called Tianjin CTF Finance Center. It's in Tianjin, China. Completed in 2019. 1,739 feet, 97 stories. And we have another one that's tied for number 7. It's also made by the created by, I think, by the same company. It's called Gongzhou CTF Finance Center in Gongzhou, China, 2016. So it was 3 years prior to Tianjin. It's 1,739 feet. I wonder if they use the same architecture model. However, they got 111 stories. The other one had 97. All right, number six. Finally, one in our country. One World Trade Center in New York is number six.
I figured it was about halfway.
You know how tall World Trade? You should. Mm-hmm. Think about the number. 1,776. 1,776 feet. And it's 94 stories. Okay, number five.
So if it didn't come to 776 when they were done with the... Oh, it was... tear it down and start all over again?
I'm sorry, it was created in 2014. No, they... No.
Okay.
All right, where are we here? Number five. It's called the Lotte World Tower. It's in Seoul, South Korea. Number five in South Korea. Huh? Established in 2017, 1,819 feet. Boy, if you jump from that thing, wonder how long it would take you to hit the ground. 123 floors. It would take you a long time to get to the top. Can you imagine going up 123
stairs. Floors?
Could you imagine climbing?
No.
Number four. Gotta hurry. Ping An Finance Center in Shenzhen, China, completed in 2017, 1,965 feet. Number three, the Mecca Royal Clock Tower in Mecca in the Mideast, 1,972 feet, 120 floors. Number two, Shanghai Tower in Shanghai, completed in 2015. It's the first one to be over 2,000 feet, 2,073 feet. Boy, that's a long drop.
Wow.
128 floors. Holy Toledo. All right, Ed, do you have any idea?
I'll give you the country that I think it's in.
All right.
I have no idea what building it is. I'm going to just go with Dubai.
And you rolled the drum, didn't you?
I did.
You're right.
Really?
Yeah, it is Dubai. It's the Burj Khalifa. And it was completed in 2010. Boy, that's 11 years ago. 2,717 feet.
Imagine if you had the record and then a guy across the street builds one with one brick more than yours.
I know. I wonder how long it'll be before something comes along to be taller than this. It has 163 floors.
How do you wash those windows?
Very carefully, especially at the top, I'll tell you. Anyway, thank you for listening. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday. In the meantime, freedom works.